Welcome to The Deep Dive, a deeper look at sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church.
Hello.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into a couple of really powerful messages from Pastor Tim Travis. They unpack what it means to truly live the Christian life and why remembering God's work is just so vital.
That's right. Our source material for this deep dive comes from two specific sermons, one called Our Walk in Christ, which looks at the practical day-to-day stuff based on Ephesians chapter 4.
Okay.
And the second is Remembering God's Mighty Hand Through Memorials, which takes us over to Joshua chapter 4.
Gotcha. So our mission here is to pull out the key insights, those, you know, knowledge nuggets from these messages. Think of it as getting the essential wisdom for you, the listener.
Right. Helping you understand what's most important about this idea of walking in Christ and why setting up memorials of God's work really matters, not just way back then, but for your life right now.
Exactly. And we should mention the sermons use the King James Version of the Bible quite a bit. So when we quote scripture, that's the version you'll hear reflecting the source material.
Good point. KJV it is.
Okay, let's jump in. The first sermon, Our Walk in Christ, goes straight to Ephesians 4. And Paul's talking about how believers should live. But the context, wow, Paul's in prison when he writes this.
It's pretty incredible, isn't it? The sermon really highlights that. Hmm. Despite being locked up, he's writing with this clear sense of joy and contentment.
Which, honestly, that hits me right off the bat. I mean, I lose my joy over traffic, and Paul's finding contentment in prison. That's convicting before you even get to verse 1.
Yeah, it tells you his joy wasn't about his circumstances, was it? It was rooted much deeper. Mm-hmm. And that sets the stage for the transformation he describes in Ephesians 4. Paul draws this really sharp contrast between how believers are called to walk and how other Gentiles, basically the lost world, walk.
Right. So what does that worldly walk look like, according to Paul? How did the sermon break that down?
Well, verses 17 to 19 use some strong language. Vanity of their mind, understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And then it gets really stark. People who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness.
Vanity of mind. The sermon explained that's not just about being conceited, right?
No, it's deeper. It means devoid of truth, perverse, depraved. But also, and this was a key insight from the sermon, it carries this idea of frailty, a lack of strength, basically trusting in yourself, your own limited, frail self instead of God.
Wow, trusting your own frailty. That's a powerful way to put it. Okay, and lasciviousness sounds pretty bad.
It is, defined as unbridled lust, excess, shamelessness. The sermon pointed out it's characterized by uncleanness and greediness and even called it an epidemic today.
So the Christian walk isn't just slightly different, it's heading in the completely opposite direction.
Totally opposite. And this new walk is only possible because of that fundamental change when someone trusts Christ, when they're born again. Ephesians 4:20-24 talks about this. The sermon stressed, you know, someone says they've learned Christ but keeps living the same old way. Well, they have not so learned Christ.
Ah, the light bulb moment that was mentioned, like in that Hank Williams song reference.
Exactly. Suddenly, the understanding isn't darkened anymore. The light's on. You're not alienated, ignorant, or blind, because now you have the Bible, you have the truth.
And you're no longer insensitive to sin.
Right. That sensitivity comes back, or maybe develops for the first time through the Holy Spirit. You start noticing things, feeling conviction about things you didn't before. And the sermon included that sort of self-check.
Yeah.
If there's zero change, you really need to examine things.
That's direct. And this new nature leads to this practical idea of putting off and putting on.
Yeah, it's a great metaphor. You put off the former conversation, your old lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt with deceitful lusts. And you put on the new man, created after God's likeness and righteousness and true holiness.
Like taking off a dirty shirt and putting on a clean one. The sermon used that analogy.
Yes. You don't just wear the clean one over the dirty one. You make a change. And the sermon emphasized that even though believers still struggle, absolutely.
We all do.
We now have this new nature. And crucially, God has given believers everything needed to live successfully and please him. That was a big point.
So we can't take the credit.
Exactly. No flesh should glory in his presence. It all comes from him.
Okay, but even with this new nature, we can still mess up. The passage talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. What does that actually mean?
To grieve, the sermon explained, is to afflict with sorrow, to make sad. The Holy Spirit lives in believers, so when we act in certain ways, it causes him sorrow. Like hurting someone you love causes them pain.
Makes sense. What kind of actions does Paul list there in verses 25 to 32?
It gets very practical. Things like put away lying, speak truth instead. Anger is mentioned, be angry and sin not. But don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give the devil that foothold.
Right, deal with it quickly.
Yes, stop stealing. Instead, work hard so you can give to others. And corrupt communication, you know, tearing people down with words, replace that with edifying speech, words that build up and minister grace.
And there was a list of attitudes too, right at the end.
Yeah, cluster. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, which the sermon defined as loud protest, even against God, sometimes evil speaking, and malice, that deep ill will towards someone.
So if those are the negatives, what's the positive action, the remedy the sermon offered?
It comes down to choice. Choosing daily to walk in truth. It means actively stopping those things, the lying, stealing, tearing down, letting anger fester, holding on to bitterness and malice.
Like replacing them.
Exactly. Actively speaking truth, laboring to give, building others up, and being kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And the motivation for that forgiveness is key.
What's the motivation?
It's right there in the text. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, that's presented as the absolute crux of it.
The bedrock.
That's why we can forgive, even when it feels impossible. The sermon shared a powerful story about an elderly woman who just couldn't forgive, highlighting how hard it is, but also how necessary, because our strength comes from remembering God's huge forgiveness of us.
Puts it all in perspective. And the sermon wrapped up that section with some direct questions for the listener, didn't it?
Yeah, asking point blank. Are you saved? Are you walking worthy of that calling? Are you actually walking in truth, putting off the old, putting on the new?
Followed by encouragement to the believers, the saints, to stay focused, stay faithful, stay in the word, stay in prayer. It's a call to keep going in that practical daily walk.
It really is. Living out that new identity God gives us.
Which actually leads us really well into the second sermon, remembering God's mighty hand through memorials. This one connects God's past actions to how we live now, using Joshua chapter 4. It was framed around Memorial Day weekend initially.
Yes, it started by honoring sacrifice, appreciating life in America, especially compared to global poverty. But the core story is Joshua getting the Israelites to set up a physical memorial right after God miraculously parted the Jordan River for them.
Right, the command was specific. 12 men, one from each tribe, grab a stone from the middle of the dry riverbed.
Carry it on their shoulder.
And set them up where they camped that night.
And the purpose was crystal clear in verses 6 and 7. These stones were a sign. So when kids later asked, hey, Dad, what's with the pile of rocks?
Yeah, basically.
Their fathers could say, this is where God stopped the Jordan River for the Ark of the Covenant. These stones are a memorial forever.
So the big theme is God wants us to remember. Because as the sermon bluntly put it, we have a nasty habit about forgetting.
And forgetting is dangerous spiritually. The sermon linked forgetting God's past work to believers today feeling sad, depressed, angry, despondent. It used that example from Numbers 11.
Oh yeah, the Israelites.
They remember the cucumbers and melons of Egypt, the food they had in slavery. But they forgot God's deliverance, his daily provision of manna.
Longing for slave food while forgetting freedom and miracle bread. That says a lot about forgetting the right things and remembering the wrong ones. God's provision isn't always gourmet, but it's what we need.
And it often requires trust when things don't make sense, like Noah building the ark or Abraham leaving home. The sermon pointed out that remember or remembrance shows up over 200 times in the Bible. God thinks it's important.
That statistic alone is powerful. The sermon actually encouraged praying, asking God to bring specific memories of his work in our lives to mind.
Yes, personal examples were shared in the sermon, God's help in moments of deep despair, family blessings, seeing his hand in a hospital waiting room. Recalling these isn't just nostalgia. It's meant to glorify God and stir up our own joy and faith, reminding us he's in control.
And remembering isn't just for us, right? It's meant to be passed on.
Hugely important point. The adults setting up those stones had seen God work. Joshua 4:20-22. The sermon raised a challenging question. Maybe faith is waning today because those memorial stones, the personal stories of God's faithfulness, haven't been passed down effectually.
Like we see with Lois passing faith to Eunice, who passed it to Timothy.
Exactly. Or Paul, remember the Thessalonians' faith? Yeah. It's a legacy.
The sermon also focused on the detail of carrying the stones on their shoulders.
Right. It wasn't easy. It was a heavy burden, a large stone. This was presented as symbolizing the trials we carry, illness, job loss, family struggles. And the message was profound. Never waste a trial.
Don't waste a trial.
Because often the best memories, the most powerful memorials of God's faithfulness, are created in those really hard times, the driest times, when everything seemed to be falling apart.
That completely reframes hardship, doesn't it? Seeing it as potential memorial building ground.
It does. And the sermon added, maybe with a bit of humor, that while challenges get bigger with age, so do the blessings like grandchildren being proof you didn't kill your kids.
Huh. A little levity there. And crucially, these stones were set up at home where they lodged. It brings it right into our personal space.
Yes. From a national event to a personal practice, it contrasted external success with internal failure, like King David. The encouragement was to set up our own memorials at home. Maybe not literal stones, but stories, pictures, traditions, ways to tell kids and grandkids about God's work in your life. Especially your salvation story, how he brought you out of darkness.
Because at the end, the sermon said, all we have are memories. And you hope they're memories about God. It mentioned the difference between funerals, one where there wasn't much godly legacy to talk about, versus one filled with stories of faith. That's sobering.
Very sobering. And it touched on that tendency for generations to drift, referencing Jeremiah 6.16, where people refuse the old path.
Which connects to the ultimate purpose, stated in Joshua 4.24.
Right. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that he is mighty, and fear him forever. It was meant for the whole world.
But Israel largely failed at that, the sermon noted. It then traced how the torch of truth passed through nations like Great Britain, then America.
But the sermon expressed a strong view that America is now rapidly moving away from that. The torch is dimming, becoming a pagan nation, worshiping idols of entertainment.
Mm.
The indie race crowd versus church attendance was used as an illustration of this.
And we should reiterate that specific assessment of America's spiritual state is the perspective presented within that sermon source material.
Exactly. It's the view shared from the pulpit.
Right.
And despite that grim national outlook, the sermon still urged prayer for the current generation. They're not lost yet. God can still move.
And it affirmed the core truth. God will build his church. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. Our job is faithfulness. Just showing up.
And the gospel invitation is always there. God doesn't force. He invites, come unto me. Come now. Let us reason together.
No.
We're here because we love him and his church.
It comes back to those kids asking, what mean these stones? You want to be the parent who says, I'm glad you asked, and has a story to tell.
Definitely. The greatest gift is that truth, those stories of God's faithfulness.
And the closing reminder was stark. We're just one generation from extinction if we don't pass the torch. We need to intentionally look back, ask God to remind us of his highlights, and give him praise.
Both sermons really push for intentionality, don't they? Living out the change God made and actively remembering and sharing what he's done.
It really ties together powerfully. Remembering God's faithfulness, those memorials, those specific times he came through, that must be what fuels our ability to walk in Christ daily, right? To put off the old and put on the new.
Absolutely. Remembering his forgiveness helps us forgive. Remembering his power in past trials gives us strength for today's battles. The memorials aren't just dusty history. They're living proof of the God who empowers our walk now.
Makes perfect sense. And for anyone listening who wants to dive deeper into these messages themselves, you can find the sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Basically all the usual places.
Yeah. The best way is probably just go to their website, faithwayfbc.com. You'll find all the links there. Hearing the full context is always worthwhile.
Definitely adds another layer.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, here's something to think about, pulling it all together. Given this strong call to pass on the truth, to set up memorials of God's work, and that warning about generational drift, how can you personally be more intentional this week about setting up your own memorial stones, those concrete stories of God's hand in your life, and then actually sharing that story with someone, especially maybe someone younger, to help make sure that torch of truth keeps burning bright?
That's a great question to leave folks with.
Indeed. Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive.